She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties.
Season 8.
A, B, C, D, E, F. You don't belong here.
I am indeed an upstate New York accident.
Not them. Fuck us.
And just keep going until you fucking beg for mercy.
So does my husband, but he's pretty great.
That is just too much sex math.
This season's gonna be lit, guys.
Oh my god. So guys, we were just arguing.
Yeah.
You missed it. We were arguing about Onyx Storm, but not in the way.
Zero spoilers here. So if you're if you haven't finished it yet, don't worry about here.
We still haven't even gotten their fucking copies yet.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, Amazon. Get your life together. Mm-hmm. But what we were arguing about was the fact that we want to talk about Onyx Storm, mm-hmm. but currently today's book is Wild Love, which mm-hmm. was excellent, by the way. It mm-hmm. also was a high-rated book, mm-hmm. but we hyper-focused on Onyx Storm.
But I don't know what you expected me to do. Now. I don't know what you expected me to do. It's the third motherfucking book in the series. Was I supposed to add the third book to the first season or to the first episode of this season when we didn't talk about the second book? We only did the first book? Like
everybody's read it. Like, my husband's read it. My teen's reading it.
Matt read Onyx Storm?
He's in the middle of it right now.
Okay, well,
he was obsessed with the series. No, he's obsessed with the series.
I did just contemplate like putting Sunrise on the Reaping in this season, which is the Haymitch story from Hunger Games.
I wouldn't hate that.
I just felt like I don't really like us doing brand new books because we like to give spoilers. And I don't want to spoil.
So maybe season 9 or season 10, we talk about it.
I don't know.
When the movie comes out, when's the fucking movie due?
I don't know, but they're already starting making the movie. Like, I think they're casting it.
Have they cast Haymitch?
No, I don't think so. But I still hold to the fact that I think that guy from Heartstopper should be Haymitch.
I think he would be an excellent Haymitch. I don't.
Some people
are so smiley, though.
Yeah, but Haymitch, he turned grumpy.
That is true.
I mean,
his life definitely changed in those games.
Right. Some people are fan casting that guy as Dane from Onyx from Fourth Wing, and I'm like, I don't like that because I don't want Dane to be somebody likable. Like, I want him to totally be a dickhead.
Okay. I feel like Dane's on a redemption arc. We'll have to wait and see for the next book, but I feel like he's on his way up.
I don't want to give spoilers, so I'm not going to say this, but I saw a spark. I'm not going to say more than that, but I saw a spark for
Dane. I feel like Rebecca Yarros is giving us a redemption arc for Dane after book one and that whole punch in the face thing. And
She has said publicly that he's one of her favorite characters.
I don't want to talk about what she says publicly because the last thing I saw was she says we're not getting another book till 27 or 28 for the new one.
Yeah. The end of 2026 or the beginning of 2027.
She said she's gonna take her time. I get it. She likes writing other things. I get it. She has a life and kids and wants to see them, but how dare you?
I feel like the mistake that was made was not in spacing 3 and 4 out or even 2 and 3. It was rushing 1 and 2 to be released within 6 months of each other.
You know, and
that's the problem.
Deb said that too. Because she had gaps between book 1 and book 2 in the All Souls trilogy, the original 3. Uh-huh. Book 1 and 2 had like a year and a half, 2 year gap. Uh-huh. Then book 2 and 3 had almost 3.5 years in between, almost 4. And she like threw in like the companion guide mm-hmm. in between in there, which helped. But there was just so much that like there was so much just empty space in the fandom.
Yeah.
And people were getting antsy and that long of a gap, people get pissed.
I just feel like any more than 2 years between books is unacceptable. And because she set this pace of 2 books in 6 months and then a third book.
She did that to herself.
Within a year and a half. Like, don't tell us it's going to be 2 years to book four, which she has started writing it. I did read that. I don't know. Honestly, I feel like this series is my favorite series now. The Hunger Games has held that title since before my kids were born.
I am in such a deep book hangover from Onyx Storm. And I really should have waited till I like was more caught up on pod books. Like at least through February before I started, but that's fine. I've read two of the February books.
Yeah, I've read two and a half.
Kind of ahead.
I've read two and a half.
Yeah, you're
ahead. All right. So speaking of things we did in the off season, Katie, Norse Katie and I did Warm Winter Bitches.
You sure did. I told you.
Yeah, you did for one of the books. So I have to say, I don't know if Katie would agree with me on this, but I have to say that I didn't enjoy our winter books as much as I do our summer ones.
Like, your winter books kind of fell flat this season. And it could have just been, like, and it could have just been, like, the lineup, right? Sometimes we just, I mean, we've had seasons where it's just dud after dud after dud. And we pick books because they look good. And the next thing you know, negative ghostwriter. So, I don't know.
But we read, so the Under the Mistletoe collection that Amazon Publishing put out was fantastic. I enjoyed that a lot. I don't care that it's February when you're listening to this. Go read it. It doesn't matter. It's just really, really good. Definitely skip the Tessa Bailey because it is hella dumb.
It's just Tess Bailey. It's sex, babes.
How the Neighbor Stole Christmas was so fucking delightful. It was amazing. That was my first Megan Quinn, and we are definitely going to read her again. And then we read Merry Little Meet Cute with you, and you and Katie liked it, but I was just kind of like, eh, about it.
I looked at it as something light and fun, and I wasn't looking for depth in it, you know?
It just was not a good follow-up to me for How the Neighbor Stole Christmas, because that book was a five-star for me.
Right.
I wonder if I would have read
that book and done the same trajectory you did.
Yeah.
If it would have happened.
Yeah.
If it would
and
have been
honestly,
that way,
for that
me.
Book being about a porn star, I didn't really think
it was
that
so
spicy.
Fucking cute. And it was super cute and funny. Because I mean, not all porn stars are spicy in their real life.
Yes, but you've set up the book as going to be spicy. That was the premise, you know, and I just didn't think it really gave that. And the holiday swap had zero spice. So that was not a good choice for, you know, what we were doing. It was cute, I guess. Pucking Around was filthy. I mean, it is the dirtiest book I've ever read.
In the best ways?
It's MMFM. So the two males are also with the female.
So it's a
and each other. Trouble. So MMF. And then there's another male, a third male, who is only with the female. But they like all four fuck together. Like there's one scene where the one guy who's the goalie, who's only with the girl, is on his back and she's on top of him while and he's in her vagina. And
she's sitting on it.
One of the guys is in her ass and the other guy is in his ass. Yeah, it was a lot.
That is a lot of sex math. That is just too much sex math.
I mean, there were
and
parts
I'm not
that
good
were
at
like
regular
sexy,
math.
But that part, I was just like, what the fuck? This is, and there was a lot of body fluid exchanging and like talking about it. And there was a lot of continuously repeating your mind. It's like, you're being shared with three men. So I don't think so. Like, I don't.
And here's the thing. You know what I'm loving about TikTok and book talk right now? We are getting women who are actively showing us how these positions are happening. They are taking the time to physically do the labor. And I appreciate
you, women. The one
from
Onyx Storm with the on the chair.
Like, she's like putting her leg up and she's like, hey.
So yeah, I just felt like Warm Winter Bitches was just not as good as when we do Smut Girl Summer. But I am looking forward to that. I hope Katie wants to do Smut Girl Summer again.
Oh, I think she will. It's a good time.
It's like, Katie and I can read romanticy together in ways mm-hmm. that, like, you don't enjoy romanticy the way that we do.
I don't get into romance that way, you know? I know. Like, I've never, like, I'll read romance, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I've never favorited it. I will take it and use it as a brain break, but I just don't analyze it and read it the way I do other books. And I don't know if that's internalized misogyny or fucking what. I don't feel like diving into that right now. But
well, I mean, I don't think that that's a problem, because there's a lot of genres that you like that I don't. And that's why our podcast has become genre fluid.
Yeah. You know, I used that the other day. I was, there's a new bookstore in Annapolis called Word, WYRD. Don't even get me spelling on it. It's not a last name. It's just they thought it was cute. And I was giving them their stuff, and they're like, so what do you guys cover? And I go, oh, we're genre fluid. And he audibly laughed out loud. Mm-hmm. He goes, can I borrow that? And I go, we haven't coined it yet, but yeah, you can use it.
I 100% think that we should make buttons or stickers that say genre fluid on it.
I'm genre fluid. That's our first shirt. I'm genre fluid. Listen to Book Besties or some stupid shit like that.
Yeah.
It's not stupid, but you know what I mean.
Well, should we talk about this book? The book that we're here for?
Oh, Wild Love. Right.
Wild Love by Elsie Silver. Right. That cover is so cute.
And, you know, I was madly in love with this book, and it gave me a little bit of a book hangover after I finished it.
Well, that was cured by Onyx Storm.
And then Onyx Storm knocked it out with a book migraine.
Yeah. I am listening to...
It put me in a book coma.
Yeah. I'm listening to our second book for the pod. So I decided, what am I going to do for my physical read? So I'm actually going to be reading this, Bull Moon Rising by Ruby Dixon. And the only reason is because I only want to read this book because of how pretty it is. Look at the straight edges. So pretty. And I don't really have any desire to read it because I'm sure it's going to be bad. So reading it now is sort of like...
It's going
to
be smutty as shit.
It's going to be bad, so who cares, right?
Right. Read it as satire. It'll make your heart happy.
It'll be fine. Anyway, so Wild Love by Elsie Silver. Would you like a synopsis?
Please.
Dude, this is season 8.
It's season 8.
Season 8.
And we're saying synopsis normally.
I have always said synopsis.
Okay, fine. I'm saying it normally.
You're upstate Lydia, New York accident. Accident.
I am indeed an upstate New York accident. That actually is going to be on my headstone. Upstate New York accident.
All right, synopsis. Wild Love is the first book in Elsie Silver's Rose Hill series. Ford Grant mm-hmm. has just been named Forbes magazine's world's hottest billionaire, a title he finds to be loathsome. Mm-hmm. To get away from the city, he heads back to his childhood summer haunt, Rose Hill, to build a recording studio on his family's property. His lifelong mm-hmm. best friend and neighbor, West, is right by his side. But when West's little sister, Rosie, comes back to town after a wrongful termination from her corporate job, on the verge of breaking up with her long-term boyfriend, Ford's world is tipped upside down by the axis that has always held him. Ford offers Rosie a job and silently promises himself that she is off limits, but their chemistry is unhinged, and the two suddenly find they cannot stay away from one another. Mm-mm. There's also the addition of Ford's biological daughter that he knew nothing about showing up at his house to complicate things, which is definitely something I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. So there you go. That's your synopsis.
And it's good.
This is the
I'm going to get this out there. Too many roses, dude.
Too many roses. Everybody was named.
Too many roses.
And she calls attention to it, too, because he names his studio like Rose Hill Studio or something like that. And she's like, everything is named Rose Hill here. Like, change it.
She's like, I don't care. I'm doing it anyway. Literally, she's like, I don't fucking care what you people think. I'm going to keep using this word. And just keep going until you fucking beg for mercy.
We did, too. All right. So nice. This book has been on my TBR for a while. And we both wanted to do an Elsie Silver this season. We actually had... talked about putting a different book on, and then we both decided no, we really wanted to read Elsie Silver.
Yeah.
But I feel like this really took us by surprise because it is so hyped. So what did you think of Wild Love and Elsie's writing?
Okay, first and foremost, when I was, we said, I thought this was a cowboy romance.
Yeah.
Like, true ride 'em cowboy, cattle drive, wild, wild west style. When I hear cowboy romance, that's what I think.
But I think that's, you know, more her, like, ranch series. Right. And also, like, and the Done and Dusted series, that's more truly western.
Right, but so with a name like Elsie Silver, you sound like a cowboy, right? Like, you sound like somebody, to me, it's just to me. But it took me by surprise because I was, one, expecting a cowboy romance. And the first thing he's talking about is being a billionaire. And I was like, am I reading the right book? That was the first thing I thought. I literally paused it and went to the place where all the books are on the internet.
Goodreads?
Yep, that. And I looked up Wild Love just to make sure there wasn't another one. Yeah. Maybe I grabbed the wrong author. Nope. Nope, nope, nope. I was reading it fine. So I was like, okay, I'll wait. Maybe the female leads a cowboy. No cowboys.
But
no cowboys.
So, but it takes place in the country, and we do know that Wes has a farm.
Right. But that's a misconception on me, right?
Yeah.
That's me taking what I'm assuming Book Talk has labeled this as and putting it in that box.
Mm-hmm.
And because we don't pre-reviews, we don't do a massive deep dive on these things.
Until we've read them.
And we'll read them, just blank. Mm-hmm. And so I went in with one conception,
preconceived notion.
Thank you, ma'am. And I came out with a different one. And let me tell you, I enjoyed this.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed this a lot. Was it a cowboy romance? No. No. But that's
okay. I think it's more small town, but...
Country.
Yeah. And... it takes place in Canada, which I didn't know either. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I didn't think about there being cowboys in Canada, but when I think of cowboys, I think of, like, you know, Texas and Canada.
When I think of Canada, I think of snow.
Right.
I don't
and Mounties.
Think about the fact, right. I don't think about the fact that all that region between, like, in, like, the middle area is actually plains, you know? Yeah. Like, I forget that they make their own food and have animals and are humans.
Right.
It's centralist of us, you know? Americans, we think about America. And I sometimes get in that headspace where I'm like, oh, yeah, other places in the world are self-sufficient, too.
I don't think that's solely us. I don't know very many people that would hear Western romance and think Canada.
Oh, yeah. Other than Canadians.
I don't even think that they would.
And if they did, they'd apologize for it. Oh, sorry.
Oop. A. So I have to say, because of how hyped up Elsie Silver was on TikTok and how we have been fooled and burned many times from TikTok, I was a little weary, but I bought this book and the first book in her... and one of her other series.
I'm surprised by the whole series. I really am.
I didn't because, first of all, this was the only book out at that time.
Oh.
From this series. But she has two other series that are complete. But I'll put this in the doobly-doos below, but she has the recommended reading order that you read this series first, which is interesting to me because this is not the complete series. There are going to be... I think 5 books in this series, and there are only 2 out right now, and the third one comes out this year, in March.
I'm sorry, Elsie. You're like, hey, guys, I'm really excited you're reading my books, but I want you to read the most recent ones first.
Mm-hmm.
Wait for that series to be done. Mm-hmm. Then jump into my rest.
No, she says you can finish the other 2 series before she finishes this one, but the little country starlet that Ford's going to be working with, she's the main character of one of the other books in one of the other series.
So she's just pulling from everywhere, huh? Good for her. She's got a whole world.
Her multiverse.
I love it. I'm here for it. I'm glad she's got one.
So I was mostly surprised because I felt like maybe it was just overhyped, but I gave this book 5 stars, and yeah. I do not do that. Like,
I don't do 5 stars for romance.
This was the 9th book I read this year.
Okay.
In January, and the first 5-star I had given.
Really? Mm-hmm. So,
I'm Emma Berry came very close. Chick Magnon, I gave 4.5.
I'm up to 6 books. I've read 6 books this season, mm-hmm. or this year so far.
Mm-hmm.
3 of them are 5 stars.
2 for me, because I finished Onyx Storm and gave that 5 stars.
I gave Wild Love 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
Onyx Storm and the Tea Dragon Society, because it's so fucking cute.
Cool.
It's so fucking cute. They're dragons, but they make tea leaves.
That reminds me of when we read Fourth Wing, and Katie was like thinking Taryn like knitted her saddle.
You know,
you don't know it his is hobbies.
Free time with his old man glasses down on his nose, and he's just sitting there doing this.
Taryn's the best. All right, my favorite curmudgeon. I feel
next
like,
to Tom.
I feel like this is a bad start to our season. We're not keeping it's on track fine. At all. All right. Ford finds out in the first chapter that he has a biological daughter he didn't know about named Cora.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Through a series of unfortunate events, Cora ends up moving in with Ford. Did you feel mm-hmm. this side story was necessary to the novel? And just as a side note, this series of Rose Hill is all single dads. So... Right. I think that's why Ford has to be a single dad. But what did you think about this being the story?
It is much more original than, oops, it's a one-night stand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? A one-night stand kid showing up at your front door is super common. It happens all the time. It is a common trope in TV. And for her to use this and be like, look, he was just trying to get by. I think it's funny. I think it's hilarious. And dumb that a man that is this smart was that dumb. Because it's very common for a man that smart to be that dumb.
Yeah.
Because men are that are that smart make stupid decisions all the time.
So I really had a problem with this. It was
I'm sure you did.
For me.
I figured it was going
to
be.
As somebody that went through fertility treatment to conceive mm-hmm. both my kids. And as somebody that knows multiple people that use donor sperm in order to get pregnant, that's not his kid. Biologically, she's his.
Right.
But they refer to her as his daughter. His parents call her their granddaughter. Yeah. And don't get me wrong. Biologically, that is his child. Right. However... because he donated sperm to help a couple get pregnant,
yep.
or if she would have been adopted, whatever, that's not his child. And there's only one time in the book that point is made when Cora says, I'm not looking for another dad. I have one.
Yeah.
And
you know,
I'm fine with him being a father figure, but like, there's no fucking way that a sperm donor has a daughter show up and he's like, yeah, sure, move in with me.
Yeah.
I'll take care of your mom who's having
you're
mental
right.
health issues.
That is, I agree, that is very unrealistic if that happened today. Like, mm-hmm. there is that fucking creepy guy on the internet who is tracking all his sperm babies. That's fucking weird. Have you seen that?
No, but...
It's on HBO Max. It's this guy who has over 100 sperm kids in Europe. And he's tracking
too much
them.
Sperm. That's too many sperms.
And there's, it's 100 plus kids right now, okay? 100 plus kids. And he's tracking not just what they do, who they are, but their accomplishments.
I mean,
I
but he's not their father.
No.
He's not
and
their
you know,
father.
And you're right. You're right. They definitely took advantage of this trope and really took advantage of this storyline and didn't take the seriousness of it effect. But
it just to me is somebody that doesn't really understand that struggle. And I don't know Elsie's
right.
life. I don't know her life. I know she has a son because that's in her bio. I don't know her life. I don't know how she conceived that child. But I don't think there are very many people who would be comfortable with their sperm donor taking their daughter in.
Especially since it's a stranger.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might have genetics and share genetics with my kid, but you're not a person I know and trust. Mm-hmm. And we've had this conversation recently in group chat about
what makes trust. Family.
What makes family, what makes trust.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And look, blood isn't everything.
Right.
And that's what this author was leaning on in this. And look, I had both my kids' bio. I didn't have, like, I did struggle with Piper, and they did tell us we'd miscarry. Like, there was a whole things, but my struggles weren't your struggles. Mm-hmm. So I didn't look at the book the way you did. So mm-hmm. I could imagine being someone that struggled with fertility and seeing the nonchalantness of this mm-hmm. and taking offense and, mm-hmm. and being like, what the fuck?
And to be fair, agree. Neither of my kids were conceived through sperm donor. Both of them were conceived. They have mine and Tom's DNA.
Oh, they look just like you fuckers.
Yes. James is my twin. Although he once specified that he is a different gender. He's my twin, but a different gender. So okay, I started saying you look like your uncles because.
There you go.
And Sam is Tom's twin.
Minus the fact that he has my personality. You're welcome.
I feel like they have the opposite personality to the parent they look like. Like, James is much more like Tom, and Sam is much more like me.
And Sam has a lot of Aunt Molly's personalities. Who drives Dad nuts? So...
No, Tom pretty much likes him. He's pretty great.
I drive Tom nuts.
Sam just won Student of the Month for kindness. That was his character award he got.
I love you, Sammy Cake, so much.
I know, he's the best. So anyway, I loved this book. I gave it 5 stars, but this storyline made me cringe. It really did. Mm-hmm. It really
did. And I can see why.
I would have felt better about it being a one-night stand and mm-hmm. showing up. I don't feel comfortable with this.
It's as realistic as, what was that movie with Josh Duhamel and Katherine Heigl where they're the godparents and both the parents die and they move in together and raise.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of what it's called. It's not a good movie.
Life Happens or something. I'm looking it up now.
I don't know. There is a movie that has Josh Hutcherson in it or Hutcherson. Whatever. Julianne Moore is in it. And his moms are lesbians, Julianne Moore, and I can't think of who the other mm-hmm. actress is. And Mark Ruffalo plays the sperm donor, and he comes and meets the kids and things.
I've seen that movie.
That's a good movie. But The Kids Are All Right is what I think it's called.
As We Know It was movie.
But I think that was a different story because the moms invited the sperm donor.
It's the fact that who also gives a DNA test to it, like a 23andMe style DNA test to a 12-year-old and be like, you can find your bio dad if you want.
Well, I think that she got the results because she was trying to see if she carried the same genetic markers that her dad had for Parkinson's. What did he have? Not Parkinson's. He had MS.
ALS.
Yes, that's what it is.
ALS.
All right. So Ford is the type of book boyfriend that I love. He's awkward. Yeah. He's smart. He's fiercely loyal. And he fucks like a dream.
Yeah.
As someone that doesn't love romance novels as much as I do you think this formula is getting stale?
No. He is an excellent book boyfriend. Mm. You want to know why? Because I love the he has been pining for me since high school storyline. I love that storyline.
Is it because you and Matt went to high school together?
No, that's the thing, though. Because, like, Matt never pined for me. He was petrified of me. But who wouldn't be petrified of a loud girl that's talking to everybody? If you knew me in high school, the people that listen to this pod and know me from high school will comment and tell you how obnoxious I was. I got most talkative as my superlative.
Molly, we've been friends since 2009. I don't need anyone to tell me how obnoxious you can be. I love you, though.
Yeah, but like, what was my point?
I don't know. You like the pining for story?
I like the pining. Like, yeah. I like this whole, like, in the back of my mind, we've always been, we're supposed to be together kind of thing. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? She's had it in her mind. He's had it in his mind. They've had lives.
Yeah.
And now they're just going to, I like that.
I am a sucker for a smart man who's quiet and awkward and the brown eyes and the brown hair. I'm a sucker
for
it. Is
he just sitting over there? Like, actually, he did go downstairs. Is he holding up a cue card right now?
He did go downstairs. But, I mean, that is the kind of guy that I'm attracted to. And, right. I mean, every guy I've dated was the awkward, really smart kind. Like, not that they all had brown hair and brown eyes. In fact, the reason that I like brown hair and brown eyes is because of the previous people I dated. Like Ron Swanson said, that's the reason I no longer like blondes.
So, too many Tammies.
Yeah. So, anyway, I don't feel like the formula's stale. It's definitely always my favorite. It's what Olivia Dade writes a lot, too. It's why I liked At First Spite, because Matthew is 100% that awkward, smart guy who fucks like a dream.
And the formula will never be stale if the writing is good.
That's the key there. And that's the thing, because we had never read her before. And we read romance novels sometimes that the story is good, the spice is good, but the writing is mid.
And looking this at you, that. Ice Planet Barbarians.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Ice Planet Barbarians.
I found that book to be laughable.
It looked like the Ice Planet Hoth. Fuck off. Plagiarism.
You sent me a TikTok yesterday of a woman who was talking about her.
I sent it to you before I got to that part. As soon as she said that, I was like, you stupid, dumb. You so just made me look stupid.
You sent me, I have to tell the others, they don't know what I'm talking about. You sent me a TikTok that said, these are the books that I find bingeable and I won't take any criticism on. And like the second or third one she talked about was Ice Planet Barbarians. The fourth,
yeah.
I was like, I don't trust anybody's opinion if that's one of their favorite books.
As soon as she said that, I was like, you dumb bitch. You dumb bitch. Because she had some good, like, romanticy on there. And then she pulled out Ice Planet Barbarians.
Yeah. Although I do want to read the two Twisted Crown series. I actually may put that on for season 9, at least the first one. But anyway. All right. Wes begins dragging
For season 9.
What?
I'm eyeballing my TBR cart for season 9.
Well, it's on my TBR. On my physical TBR behind me. Anyway. Yes. Wes begins dragging Ford to Dad's night out bowling pretty much from jump. Uh-huh. I've never thought of bowling in these terms. I felt like it was a weird choice. And I'll be honest, I legit assumed that they were going to either like a strip club or a bar that was like named the bowling alley. So what did you think about the bowling league?
This is super realistic for my area. Like, bowling's like one of the only things you can do back home. There's bowling and roller rinks. Like, that's it.
Yes.
For entertainment.
But I didn't think that people our age were doing that. Actually, they're younger than us.
Yes, they are.
Like, I feel like you go bowling when you're in high school because that's like a date you can go on. But then, like, when you're a grown ass man, you don't go bowling until you're old and then you join a bowling league.
Oh, see, we used to bowl midnight bowling. We'd it'd go from 8 to midnight. They turn the lights off, you know, the black lights. We go,
it's sodas
were cheap, you know, and we just have a good time.
Oh, yeah. I did that in high school too. But these people are like, in their 30s. I don't know. I didn't get it, but it kept giving me vibes of, what's that movie with the dude?
Oh, The Big Lebowski?
Thank you. It kept giving me that.
I didn't know if you were meaning the dude or like a dude.
Nope, the dude. All right. Rosie is wrongfully fired after her boss touches her without her permission. Gross. While she shuts it down and immediately attempts to contact HR, she is still fired the next day. This story takes the entire book to rectify. This is obviously a sensitive subject matter. So do you feel like Elsie handled it appropriately?
As someone who has been through this in the military and has gone directly to a grown-up and been told to pound sand and then go to a new place and watch it happen and watch a friend tell a grown up there and something happen, you don't always know how HR, leadership, at all is going to behave. It's like when she told her live-in boyfriend at the time. That's the kind of reaction most women are used to dealing with.
Yeah.
So for her, I feel like Elsie did a good job at dealing with the trauma, dealing with the pain, dealing with the self-guilt. All of those things were real. Mm-hmm. And how she handled it was real. And how she, I'm sure you have a question, you might have a question about this. I probably didn't read them as well as I should have. But how the ending went down and how the brother and...
Mm-hmm. I do have a question about that.
Okay. So how they dealt with it and how she felt they dealt with it. And that's just men taking care of women when women need to take care of themselves in these kind of situations. It's very... Yes, she did a good job.
I don't completely agree with you. And I am somebody that has been sexually harassed yep. at work as a teenager working at McDonald's, my manager. Goddamn. And gross. Not only that, but he told the other managers about it. So when I reported it, they laughed because I was asking for it.
Says whom?
I just feel like in a post Me Too society, mm-hmm. I needed her to be more aggressive in defending herself. And I understand that at like the end of the book, she talks about hiring Ford's lawyer to help her fight the wrongful termination. And I'm really proud of her doing that. And yeah. I'm not begrudging her some time to think about what that actually felt like. But it was a weird transition because she starts a relationship with her next boss. Yeah. And I get it. That was part of the reason why Ford was reluctant to be with her, because he was her Ford's boss.
An amazing guy.
But it just, I don't know. Now the ick of her ex-boyfriend Ryan telling her that she should let it go because that, you know, don't make waves or whatever. Like that 100% felt real because he was such a corporate peon.
Dude.
Yeah. He was definitely. He's a corporate bro. Yeah. Like in How I Met Your Mother, where they all talk about steak sauce. And they're all like, steak sauce. Like, he's one of those
A1,
guys.
Man.
Yeah.
That's A1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys. But I just felt like there needed to be more.
I get wanting to hide it.
Yeah. She didn't, though.
No, I mean, she tells him everything. He always fixes everything.
No, I mean, she didn't hide it. She wanted to report it to HR. Yeah. But the other part of that is she couldn't directly report it to HR because they weren't there. But right. She 100% could have shot HR an email, even from her personal account, documenting what happened. Like, there were other things she could have done. She could have called and left a voicemail on one of their voicemails and said, like, hey, I was inappropriately touched by our boss. I would like to file a report. You guys are not here, but I want it documented now. You know, like, there are just other things that could have happened.
This is deep thinking for a country romance.
But see, that's why it gets 5 stars for me. Because romance is my favorite genre, Molly. It is my favorite genre. Mm-hmm. But very few of those books do I actually give 5 stars to.
Right. Because it doesn't make you think harder.
And that's why I like it. Because it doesn't make me think. When they do, when they bring the spice, when they bring the banter, and they mm-hmm. make me think, hands down, that's a 5-star for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So along with that, at the end of the novel, we learn that Ford has been buying the buildings that Rosie's former boss is working in, and he just is evicting
him. Hilarious.
And West has been hand delivering the messages. So was Rosie right to be mad at Ford for this happening?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, I get that West and Ford have been ride or die mm-hmm. since childhood. I get that Wes would go down in flames for Ford if he had to. And it's not about money. And it's not about the, like, Ford being, you know, a higher rank than him in, like, this sense. And I don't think Ford or Wes looked at it that way. It was really, the only time they really saw it that way was until Rosie was like, hey, you assholes, right? Mm-hmm. And neither of them had the right to do this. Neither of them. Was it admirable? Yes. Did I find it endearing? Yes. If I was in Rosie's shoes, would I have been fucking pissed? Also, yes.
Listen.
Also, yes.
I feel like in different contexts, this would have been better received. because if Zayden says, I'm jealous of the sheets that you get to sleep with, mm-hmm. we're like, oh, so hot.
Right.
I burn the world for you, so hot. But this guy does something that's completely like within his means in a realistic world and not a fantasy world. And we're like, he overstepped.
Right. Because it's real. Right. Yeah. Because the context of this book is real.
I honestly think that it's very realistic for a man to do this. He has the means to do this. She's asked him to let it go, like legally, but he has the means to make this guy miserable, and he's going to do it. And I think that it's admirable. And frankly, I find it to be very sexy because I love it for a man to go to bat for me. I love it.
Right.
Now, fucking don't mansplain to me. Like, fucking don't mansplain to me. But if somebody's coming at me, fucking go to bat for me.
Oh, see, here's the thing. In our house, you don't have to go to bat. Well, because as soon as somebody starts talking up, you know very well I'm standing up and making myself big. Because
I'm not good at conflict, which is why I have surrounded myself with incredibly powerful women who will literally burn the world for me because they love me that much.
And I would do it with a smile while stoned.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would.
And then ask you if you want to go get lunch, because I'm probably hungry.
Well, of course. Me too.
But here's the thing. If I love my husband dearly, mm-hmm. but if he said to me, he went, Molly, I am jealous of the sheets you sleep in while I'm away. I'd be like, what the fuck is your problem, Matthew?
I would love it.
Like, no, because he sleeps in those sheets next to me. And you know what he does in those sheets? He sweats. And he stinks. You know what I'm thinking? Boy.
I'm thinking of all the times that Tom was deployed or working night
shifts. Oh, Matt works so much. Matt is on nights constantly.
And I wasn't with him. And him being jealous of the fact that those sheets were, like that. I get that vibe.
I get that. But also, my real life husband, who's never spoke like that, started speaking like that.
Yeah.
The fuck's your problem? Who are you?
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking of, okay, so since we've had that, that's been brought up. You know, we did the math the other day from geoing, him working shift work, and like just travel.
Mm-hmm.
Out of our 18 years of marriage, we've probably seen each other a total of 10 maybe together, like spent time together.
It is 15 years this year that we've been married, and when we moved to Virginia in 2017, now mind you, at that point we had two kids.
Right.
That was the first time that we discovered what side of the bed we preferred. We had two kids already. And we didn't know what side of the bed we preferred.
You would be
7 years of marriage, two kids later, did not know what side of the bed we preferred.
You would be surprised the things Matt and I found out 3 years together, finally living together full time, moving into that house in Bay Cliff.
Yeah.
The it's things totally we found different. Out about each other and the growing pains we went through.
Yeah.
Do I love him? Yes. Am I glad we made it through that? Also, yes. Did I want to stab him with a dull knife
many
during
times.
That time frame? You bet your sweet fucking Bippy.
Yeah.
Sweet Bippy.
All right,
this man was digging through the laundry and pulling his own clothes out and leaving mine dirty.
All right, so Rosie is in a dead-end relationship. She should have left a while ago. Ryan tries to hold on as long as he can, but the two eventually break up. Did you find their ending anticlimactic?
I'm trying to find the words. I would have rocked his clock as soon as he started being condescending.
Mm-hmm.
I would have started packing my shit, made a massive big deal about it. And the fact that he was just like, it's not a big deal, babe. And he's just sitting there scrolling his phone. And he's like, hey, don't worry about it. You know, you'll get him next time. Whatever. Like, no.
No, when she left to go back home to Rose Hill, she should not have been carrying that baggage with her anymore. They should have broken up then.
There's no dragging
that. The fact that he was like, I can't come for a month.
I would have ended it then. I would have fucking ended it then.
I wouldn't even have went away with that baggage. It would have been, deuces, I'm out.
She was way too respectful to him. Mm-hmm. She gave him too much respect and too, like, I'm not that person. I'm not the one. Yeah. I'm not the one.
It also made the beginning of her relationship with Ford a bit awkward because they were, yeah.
Just a smidge. Just a smidge. Because
all right, we are going to be way over
it's time. That line. It's that line. The next time you say that to me.
You better be single.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
we're going to run out of time, so I'm going to try to speed through.
I don't care. Keep going.
So Rosie begins driving Cora home from school and then babysitting her on bowling nights. It becomes increasingly obvious that Cora views Rosie as a big sister type. Meanwhile, Ford becomes a fantastic stand-in dad. How do you feel about their family dynamic, the three of them?
Oh, it was adorable. Mm-hmm. It was adorable.
But again, it still bothers me because he's not her dad.
No. You know what it reminded me of? Fuck, what was... There was this show in the O's. And it was this child that was given up for adoption. And she finds her bio parents. And she has it in her brain that she's trying to get them back together. And it's like her raising her bio parents.
I do not know what you're talking about.
It was on the WB. I think it went for 2 seasons. I'll find it and put it in the notes. But that's the vibe it was giving me. And I don't know how to explain it other than that.
I don't know. The first time Ford and Rosie fuck is in their office on his desk. Which, thank God.
X marks the spot, baby.
Right. Then they are immediately interrupted by West. So you and I actually talked about how West was clueless, and it actually turns out later in the book that we find out he's known all along that Ford and Rosie are in love with each other. So how did you feel about the reveal?
Okay. My favorite part of this whole thing was after he was going to pick West up at the police station. And Wes goes, it's no longer you and me, is it? It's you and her. And when I tell you, that is a real best friend. That is a real, true ride or die. No matter what happens between Rosie and Ford, he will still be his ride or die.
Yeah. So I have dated the sibling of a very, very close friend. My first boyfriend, his little sister, and I were really close. And when he and I started dating, I kind of talked to her about it beforehand. I was like, hey, how are you? Are you comfortable with this? And she was like, yes. She ended up changing her mind. She was not comfortable with it. It got to the point where if I called to talk to her, I was not allowed to then ask for him or vice versa. Like, I would have to hang up with my boyfriend and call her back. There was no, I'm on your side. Bullshit. I like you guys doing this. There was no that. It was, that's my brother. And why are you with my brother? And I dated him for over 2 years. So it was, we stopped being friends. I feel like girls would have a harder time with their sibling being dated than men would. Like women, we just get catty about the dumbest shit.
We do. We do. But, and we take things too, like we're gentler in our hearts, right? We take things more directly. I don't see things that way. I've never been that person. But I can see how I could see at a younger age, like teenage Molly, I could see how that would be a thing. But now as adult, I'm like, fuck that. I was friends with John and Joe. I was in 2 friendship circles with 2 different Biggs brothers. And you know what happened? They were pissed. You don't know why? Because they found out how annoying I really was when they weren't just spending time with me in a group setting.
I don't know. I mean, I was 15 and she was 14 and he was 16. So, I mean, maybe that's the vibe. But yeah, it was not cool.
That's just weird, man.
I want to talk about Ford's family for a moment. Ford is the oldest kid to a rock and roll legend, also named Ford Grant. The Grant family is rounded out with Ford's mom, who is a sex therapist and fucking hilarious, and his younger sister, Willa, who is absolutely wild. We get to see the family interact several times in this novel. And what do you think about the Grants? And also, how do you feel about them instantly claiming Cora?
I liked that they were welcoming and warm.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's it. The rest, making what happened to Ford and making what's going on in Cora's life about them, is selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And demanding to meet a child who's going through it,
mm-hmm.
whose mother is not well, whose mm-hmm. dad just died, who's mm-hmm. trying to figure out who she is in the world because she just met her bio dad. Mm-hmm. Like, putting yourself in there, no, this isn't about you right now. Yeah. You need to fucking wait and wait your turn.
I feel like I liked his family. I really liked the way that Rosie interacted with them. I thought was great. Like that she called him senior and Ford Jr. And it just, that was funny. I loved his mom. I thought she was really hilarious. I think the way that they accepted Cora made sense in the context of this novel because Cora had wanted to be accepted by them. And so like, for that, it makes sense to me. But I agree. I didn't think that was appropriate. Again, it's not his daughter.
Like, no.
Cora eventually calls him dad. So I guess, you know, she's come to think of him that way. And again, family is who you choose, not necessarily who you're related to, even though in this case, she is related to him. But I don't know. I just didn't think it was all appropriate. I don't think it was appropriate.
I get what she was trying to do. She was trying to make this warm, big family in a short timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. She was trying to give Cora some sort of support and structure.
Mm-hmm.
Get it. She was setting up the ending. It just, and we had to have a reason for his parents to be there, right? Because we do have that conflict between Ford Jr. and Ford Sr. Mm-hmm. There is this huge power dynamic between them that just is, that we didn't even barely touch in this book, right? And I get we had to pull that in to feed that fire. It just didn't work well with the storyline of the adopted daughter, or not the adopted daughter, the bio daughter. I'm so sorry.
I agree.
All right.
So the quote, "I broke every speed limit to get to you," keeps coming up throughout this book. Did you have a favorite Ford Grant saying?
The you
next
better
time you ask me that, you better be sure.
Yeah. Mm.
For me, it was the speed limit, but...
Oh, there was just so many, though.
Again, it's the type of book boyfriend that I like, right?
There's so many. And you know, Rosie was sweet, too. Like, Rosie doing the... I would have melted if somebody would have left me pages from their journal talking about how good of a human I am. If I am that much a focus in your mind in pages at that age, fuck me. Why wouldn't you say something? Fuck. Yeah.
I thought the banter in this book was just giving so hard. Like, it was so good. I saw
the banter is the reason we got 5 stars.
Absolutely. I saw a TikToker who I think might be like a indie romance author post something about, like, it was an audiobook clip from her book talking about how people say that, you know, Spice is so juvenile. And then what you actually get is the banter in her thing.
Yeah.
And I commented, like, that's what I actually want. Like, the sex in the story is a bonus, but it's the banter that draws me in. That's why I like books like The Royal We, which doesn't have sex in it, but it's the banter. It's those late nights getting to become friends. It's that building of a relationship.
It's that giggly kick feet part of the relationship, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what I love. Yes.
All right. So let's talk about the epilogue. Ford proposes to Rose in an absolutely childish but totally appropriate way. Cora and her mom move to Rose Hill, and all is right with the world. Thoughts?
Happy ending. .. Like, and I read the bonus. And I read the bonus chapter, like the 7 years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Cora's graduation.
Mm-hmm.
They have a daughter named Stevie.
Rose, I haven't read it yet, but Rose, I want to.
It's quick. I could read it. And I didn't lose distraction. I only had to reread it a couple times. but I read it in 20 minutes. That's okay. Pretty quick for me.
Yeah.
So it was cute. It's just her graduation speech and just going, literally, it's her monologuing pretty much going over what happened. It was super cute. I love Happily Ever After.
I was happy that they moved to Rose Hill, that she and her mom did, because since we have the bond formed between Ford and Cora, I wanted them to be able to be in each other's lives. But I still maintain that the start of this was gross.
Because it's not realistic for the birth mother, and the bio mom and real mom of a child to just pick up and relocate to where the sperm donor lives.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But maybe she saw how much her daughter grew in that
needed
time.
Needed him.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that she really just needed him. She needed Rosie, and she needed Rose Hill Junior High, and she needed all of that.
They've stated several times in this that they were an older couple. Mm-hmm. Maybe she was worried she was going to die. Maybe she's worried that...
I don't think it was that, but I do think, like, from Cora's perspective, she mentions that she pretty much didn't get to do anything with her parents because her mom was pretty much caring for her dad her whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. So, she didn't get a childhood.
Yeah. This was a chance for her to be a kid. And I think her mom saw that. And plus, I can understand why her mom would want to relocate away from the house that she shared with her husband who died.
Not just that, like it's sad memories, not just for her, but sad memories for Cora. Yes.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay.
Do you have any other final thoughts, or should we talk about what's coming up?
Nothing else on this book. Loved it. We'll read Elsie again.
I plan to read the whole series for sure. All
don't forget to follow us on Storygraph, guys.
Yeah. So speaking of, I'll link it below again, but if you're on Storygraph or if you'd like to switch over to Storygraph, it's independently owned. It's not owned by Amazon. It's a Black woman owned business. Mm-hmm. And it is a great tracker. And I don't know if many of you saw the controversy with some of the other book trackers on TikTok, but there were some that were giving like real racist vibes. And like, this one is very, I mean, it's very
not racist,
not at all. What's the word I'm looking for? It's not dividing in any way other than people getting to talk about the books that they maybe don't like. That's really it. So I like it a lot, and you can create challenges on there. So I created a challenge. We've released all of the books that are coming up for the season, which we don't normally do. So that
means we're sticking to a schedule, guys.
I know.
Fuck y'all.
I know. Not them, fuck us, because that's not what we normally do. But you can follow along, and you can actually follow that challenge and read through the list with us. So I'll put that there. But for the rest of this month, we're continuing with romance because it's February and we always do that in February. So I don't have physical copies of the other books coming up this month, but next week we'll do this book, The Fiancé Farce.
What are we looking for?
Right here. And The Fiancé Farce is a sapphic romance. I'm reading the audiobook and I swear I recognize the narrator's voice, but I went through her entire back catalog on Audible and I haven't read any of those books.
Is she
I'm
on
not
IMDb?
Sure. Huh?
Have you checked her IMDb?
No, but I will. I don't know. She's really good. She has very distinct voices for both women, which is great. Yeah.
I'm starting it tomorrow. I'm going to sit and watch House a little bit more and let that wash away my Onyx Storm.
That's fair. All right. So the third episode this month, which comes out on February 18th, we will be covering this book, The Cock Down the Block by Amy Award, who will be here with us to talk about her book and her series, the Kingmans series. The
Super
Cocky
Kingmans.
Cocky Kingmans. Is that what it is? Kingsman?
The Cocky Kingmans?
Cocky Kingmans. Anyway, The Cock Down the Block. I bought this as a Kindle book. If you're on Kindle Unlimited, it's on there. She does have physical copies of this book, but
it's super cute.
I'm on a book buying ban. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to our TikTok. I explain it there. And so I don't own a physical copy of this, but I do own the ebook. And I don't want to give away any spoilers, but I immediately downloaded the second ebook after I finished it. So that says something.
Yeah.
And then we're going to wrap up the month with this book, You Again, by Kate Goldbeck. And this is one that's been on both of our TBRs, so I'm excited for that. But I don't own a physical copy again. I got it from Libby. Support local libraries. Yeah, that's what we've got coming up this month. Mm-hmm. But this season, Molly.
Oh, no.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 authors we are meeting with this season.
But we are not doing Annapolis Book Festival this year, guys.
Yeah. We've already let them know we're not coming.
Yeah.
And, we are going to be doing another thing, but we'll give you more details when we have more details.
That's more solidified, we need a break. We need to take care of ourselves during the season.
It's just really hard to do a con in the middle of the season, and we ended up trying to build in breaks last year for it, and instead we ended up with more episodes. And I don't know what we did, but
ABF has been great about us not coming this year, and
it's not forever. We could definitely go back. They want us to come back.
We'll probably go back eventually. It's just this year we need a timeout.
Yeah, we did it.
Our
website does talk about what we're going to be doing. Like, I have a Meet the Book Besties live on our website, and so you can see where we're going, but we'll give you more details when we have them solidified. Mm-hmm. And I won't tell the name during this episode.
Not yet.
But that's all I've got.
I ain't got nothing else.
All right. So, this season's going to be lit, guys.
Not only
do we have 7 authors, but we're covering Brandon Sanderson for the first time. Neither one of us have read him.
No.
So we're going to dive in.
That is wild, by the way, that neither of us have ever read Brandon Sanderson.
Especially because both of us like fantasy.
And his, like,
it's not romanticy. Like, it's high fantasy.
I'm going to dive into one thing real quick. I think now my hesitation with Brandon Sanderson is I hold him with Neil Gaiman and Joss, and with the information we recently got about Neil Gaiman and who Joss Whedon has become, I am worried.
I'm not.
Tired of trusting men in science fiction.
I'm not.
Okay.
His vibe is different.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman always gave creepy motherfucker.
He does seem like somebody that sits on a front porch in the dark rocking.
So does my husband, but he's pretty great.
But your husband enjoys creeping people out.
Speaking of my husband, he's going to come back this season and host. He hasn't done that since, our third season, I think?
No. And he and I have been talking about reading this book together, so I'm glad we're doing it this season.
We have Hazel Gaynor coming back again.
I'm so excited for Hazel.
We have Beth Rivas, who we read the Chaotic Orbits, the first 2 books in the series, together.
We blew through those together.
Third one comes out, so we're very excited about that. And I'll tell you, one of the authors I'm really, really excited about this. Oh, I'm sorry. We also have Emma Berry coming back again
with her new book,
which is awesome. One of the authors I'm really excited about, he actually reached out to us. He's friends with Dr. Susie Edge, who I'm obsessed with. His name is AJ West, and he is a British author. And he's going to be published in the US for the first time for The Betrayal of Thomas True. And when he reached out and I read the synopsis of his book, first of all, the cover is freaking gorgeous. When I read the synopsis of his book, I immediately sent it to Molly and was like, we need to have him on. It's like queer historical fantasy, which is just like, I'm excited.
Stephen Fry gives a quote on the back of this.
Right. Fucking Stephen Fry. Also, Dr. Susie Edge does as well, which is cool.
Dr. Susie Edge.
But Stephen Fry.
Never been a book that makes me cry until today. Truly extraordinary.
Yeah. I'm really excited for that one. I can't believe we have to wait till June because, I think it's going to be
the audiobook.
I know.
Look, guys, when we get authors that reach out to us, we don't always
take them on.
And they don't always make it accessible for me. Mm-hmm. We're not going to lie.
Yep.
And I have pushed through several authors. Getting people that respect it.
Yeah.
People that understand it. We're getting people that want to be here with us.
Well, that's one of the things I really loved about Emma.
Guys.
Because we didn't actually ask her for an audiobook. I happened to mention offhand that as long as we have the ARC soon enough, Molly can read it. But she's usually an audiobook reader because she's dyslexic. And Emma reached out to us and said, hey, here's the audiobook. I hope this helps. And I was just like, she's the first author. I don't think I'm saying this disparaging to any of our other author friends, because like I feel like Nikki Payne would have totally given us audiobook if it was available. But Emma was the first one that we didn't ask. She just said, hey, here it is. This is what you need, right?
And I thought that was really great. That's what we're starting to do now, is ask for it. Mm-hmm. And maybe we should.
I don't know that we always did, and that's on us.
And maybe, but I also don't like flaunting my dyslexia.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm, you know, proud of being 42 years old and it takes me a year to read a book, you know.
But it doesn't take you a year to read a book. Girl, you have read books much faster since we have been reading so much more.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Like, there's nothing wrong with you.
There is. I spelled general with a J yesterday.
Well, given the fact that you served in the military, that is a little wrong. But
thank you, dyslexia.
I am a librarian and have to say the alphabet to myself to shelf books.
Do you sing it out loud?
Sometimes. My favorite like library TikToks are the ones where they're like A B C D E F. You don't belong here.
Okay, we've gone past our time. We go into tyrants.
Yes, we are done. So we will. It's all good. We'll see you next week, besties. We're back, season 8.
Bye guys.
Bye. Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly, not those of anyone else. Today's book was Wild Love by Elsie Silver. Your Book Besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins. Editing by Thomas Watkins. And music is Sleep Sweetly by Prigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.